word for word, point for point. Well, this church has love. Now we need to direct that love. We're not a mechanical church. We do all the things that the church at Ephesus did. But we've got love. And we need to focus it on our young people. You're going to have to influence them and teach them. Don't leave it to somebody else. It's your job. It's your responsibility as a church. And if we don't do it, it won't get done properly. So this morning I preached a rather lengthy message about love. And I did an exposition of 1 Corinthians 13:13. And I went through all these different scriptures. And I came right down to this last verse, this last expression. And I said, well, I'm going to finish this message tonight. So for you that weren't here this morning, you should have been. I don't believe in pointing the finger, but you should have been. And so you're going to have to just pick up on where I left off. God does not need great men and women. Lord knows we've had a bunch of flash in the pans in our work who thought they were great men and great women. That's not what God needs. He wants humble men and women that do not have high opinion of themselves, or if they start off with high opinions of themselves and they get zapped repeatedly and kicked down and stomped, they finally turn into humble men and women. God uses small things and people to work his wonders, such that no man will ever be able to glory in his presence. Nobody. Let's look at how God used some simple things to accomplish his purposes through them. You may think that you're inadequate for something. You may think that you can't teach, that it'd be too difficult. And you may think that your influence wouldn't count for much. And you may think, well, I can't do that. It's too difficult for me. I'm just not built for that. You're just the one God's after, because you don't have a high opinion of yourself. And all God needs is your effort. That's all he's ever needed. Took me a long time to realize that. I'm so full of blarney, I'm like a Christmas turkey. And I was so full of myself when God called me to preach, I thought what a wonderful instrument I would be for God to use. Oh, my goodness gracious. Have I learned my lesson? God is not after people that think they can do things for him. He's after people that after he smacks them around enough and they discover how little power they have, if any, that they finally just decide to do what God said and let him take care of the results. Don't worry about whether you can work with young people. Don't worry about how it's going to do this or do that to your schedule and influence your life. Don't take the time to do that. Just be willing to do it, and God will take care of all the rest. You may say, well, Brother Michael Murray, you must think that you must be preaching this to get us to work with them. Oh, well, as they say in the vernacular, you've got it, Clyde, because time is short. And whatever you're going to do with the Lord, for the Lord, or about the Lord, you better get after it. Not because of this message I'm preaching, but because God works in you both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Now, here's an example of a little ruddy, complexed boy who, when he came up to the front where the fighting was, and this great Goliath stood there, this gigantic Philistine that all the others were scared to death of, he was armored with a spear reach from here to the wall over there. He was a mighty man. And here's little David, doesn't amount to a hill of beans, just a little ruddy kid that had been herding sheep. But you know what? He actually believed God could use him. God can use you. And the only problem you have in life is, are you going to believe that God can use you? Or are you going to be afraid that you might be inadequate and you might fail? David chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook. He put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and he slung his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. You say, well, How did he know he was going to be able to hit that Philistine right there and kill him? He didn't. You say, how did he know that he was going to be able to defeat the Philistine? He didn't. You say, well, he must have. Oh, no. He just knew that that's what God wanted him to do. And he did it. You think David killed that Philistine? You think David was that good a shot? No. God took David's action. God's the one guided that stone. God's the one that killed the Philistine. All David did was just have faith in God and confidence in God. Listen, that's what you need. That's what I need. That's what every church needs. People that have confidence in God's ability, and they go out and they say, this is the Lord's church. It's local. It's visible. We're the parts of it. Now, God wants us to work in it. Start working in it. And let God take care of the results. You don't have to worry about failure. You can't fail if you just do what God leads you to do by your heart. Can you? How do you think I pastored here for 30 years? You think it's talent and eloquence? No. It's just because God wanted me here. Not because I have any exceptional talent or any ability. This is what God wanted. This is what I'm doing. And don't compare yourself to other people and say, well, he's more talented than I am. She's more talented than I am. This isn't based on talent. It's based on a willingness to take little small things. Go do it. And let God take care of the results. In Joshua 6, 3 through 5. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round the city once, thou shalt do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. The 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great sound, and the wall of the city shall fall down, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, that's different. How is it different? Did anything any of these people physically do? Did their prowess, their ability, their talent, their expertise, their ability to speak, their ability to work, did any of these things have anything to do with this result? No. God just told them to do it, and they did it. Now, let's be honest with each other. I don't have to preach to tell you this. I don't have to personally tell you you need to work with the young people. I don't need to tell you that you need to serve God in this church. You already know that. How do you know it? For it is God which worketh in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. So you know what you're supposed to do. Then do it. You say, well, it's going to interfere with my schedule. It's going to interfere with my lifestyle. It's going to interfere with this. It's going to interfere with that. I'm sure that these people suffered an inconvenience having to march around that city and keep marching and marching. But finally, God got his way. God did the work. All you need, and I say this from the depths of my soul, all you need to do is just make an effort to do what God said and do what you know God wants you to do and do it in his church, and don't sit back and wonder whether you failed or succeeded. Just do it and let God decide whether it was success or failure. Now, Judges 15:15. And he, Samson, found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. Who gave him that strength? Who let him find the jawbone of an ass? Who killed 1,000 men? You say, Samson. No. God did. Nobody's that strong. Nobody's that quick. Nobody's that great a warrior. Nobody can kill that many men in a battle unless God's with him. Now let me remind you of something. For Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it might be holy and without blemish. You know that Jesus loves the church. And you've sat here for 30 years and listened to me expound the word. And some of you love to hear it. Okay, some of you young couples in this church, you need to start practicing. You need to take up the slack. You need to pick up the harness. And you need to start working in this church. You need to do it. The time is short. Our young people need you. They need you desperately. And you're to be their example and their teacher. A church can have young people, and they can have fun, and they can have an enjoyable time together. But while they're doing it, they can learn the Word of God, and you can teach it to them. And they're looking for leadership. God meant for the church to teach the young people. He didn't mean for it to be manufactured programs and all sorts of things. He meant for it to be you. You need to seriously consider what I'm showing you. You say, well, are you trying to say God can use anything? Yes. Am I trying to say that God can use you? Yes. Am I trying to say that if you let God use you, you'll be blessed? Yes. Am I trying to say that the children in this church will be blessed? Yes. That's not what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm saying. Judges 7:19 through 22. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. They blew trumpets. They had a bunch of pitchers. And there weren't just a handful of those men. What's just a handful? But God told them to blow the trumpets, to break the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and break the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hand, just what God told them to do. And the trumpeters in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshittah in Zerah and the border of Abel Meholah unto Tabeath. You say, well, that's just a Bible story. Some of you young couples here, you sat back there in all those classes. You heard about all this. You had someone that loved you enough to teach you. You know about Samson. You know about Gideon. You know about the walls that collapsed. Look at what God used. Pitchers, torches, trumpets. How was the victory obtained? By God. Think of all those teachers that taught you. Think about it. You realize how much they loved you? Some of you, because your children are grown, you think your responsibility is finished. It isn't finished. And just because you don't have any children doesn't mean you don't have a responsibility to those children. Do you understand salvation? Secure the believer, baptism by immersion, by the authority of the local church. The Lord's Supper is the co-star of the church. The church is local and visible. Do you understand the importance of the local church? Do you understand how important it is to God? Then you need to transmit what you know to those young people. And you need to do it yourselves And I can't think of a better way to do it than in the church. We don't need planned programs. We don't need discovery. We don't need Awana. We just need for the young couples in this church to start showing the same interest in the young people that the people in this church showed in you, because they loved you. And if you don't pick up the harness, and if you're not willing to do it, the rest of us are old. We're dying. We can't do it anymore. You've got to pick it up, or it isn't going to be picked up. It's time for you to take responsibility. It's time. You've never heard me talk this way before. I'm about to die. It's time. It's time. I've got to talk this way. Because if you don't pick this up and start realizing that you are soon to be the leaders of this church, who will lead this church when the rest of us pass on? 1 Kings 17:13-16. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Pretty desperate situation. And Elijah said, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat many days. And the barrel of wheat of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Who did it? Elijah? No, God did it. Why did he do it? He worked in Elijah both the will and to do of his good will. He worked in the widow the will and to do of his good will. What did they do? They just did what he told them. You middle-aged couples, God is expecting you to do something. God's expecting you to wake up. And don't just be interested in your own children. Be interested in the children of others in this church. And don't just say, "Well, my kids are okay." They're all God's kids. And if you don't teach them, who will? We need to do this. And it doesn't mean be something that I have to harp on and preach on every Sunday. You won't want to hear it every Sunday. I promise you this much. You'll find it's rough. You'll find it's not easy. But you'll find that God gives you a blessing in your heart, and you'll see a new purpose in your life, and you'll feel used of God. And on down the road, if you'll keep it up, you'll thank God that you finally decided, "Lord, I'm not much. I don't have any talent. I'm afraid to do this. I'm afraid to do that. But here I am, Lord. Lord, I'm going to try not to be disappointed. I'm going to try not to be overwhelmed. But I'm going to try to do what I can." It's time you started doing it. It's past time. And part of that is my fault. Well, I'm not going to last much longer. So while I'm still alive, so I won't have to answer to the Lord at the judgment seat, I'm trying to show you what your responsibility is. Mark 13:34-37. "While the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey." Well, Jesus is the head of this church. He's the foundation of it. And this is Mark 13, 34, 37. He's talking to the first New Testament church. He's telling them he's going to take a far journey. Well, he's sitting in heaven at the right hand of God the Father, and all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. So what have you got to worry about? All power in heaven and earth is given to him. He's telling you, here you are, there I am, and here I am in you. And it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So just say, yes. Just say, all right, Lord, I'll do it. And do it. You think he won't help you? You think he won't be there with you? Well, he left his house, the local New Testament church, but he's still in it. And he's still in the heart of every believer. And gave authority to his servant and to every man his work. How are you going to find out what God's plan for you and God's work for you is if you never try to do it? How are you going to know? Are you just going to come and sit and listen to preaching all the time? Or are you going to make up your mind that you want to be of some use to God? He gave authority to his servants, the local New Testament church, and to every man his work. And commanded the porter to watch. There's a secondary reason I'm doing this. No man knows how long he's going to live. No man knows when the Lord's coming. I don't think I'm going to live much longer, but I don't know that. I don't think it's going to be too long when the Lord comes. I don't know about that. That's what I believe. But I know one thing. God told you to watch. So I'm old, so I may die. So the Lord may come soon. You may be driving home tonight and be killed in a car crash. Now look back over your life and ask yourself, how much good have I been to the Lord? And of what profit have I been to him? It's time to take an accounting of yourself. Because I believe the coming of the Lord is soon. He said, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. Well, it's time for this church to wake up. It's time for this church to start putting into practice what they've been taught for 30 years. 1 Thessalonians 5, 3 through 9. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman and a child, and they shall not escape. I tell you, they are headed for a false peace in Israel, either by direct brute force or by negotiation. But ye, brethren, members of the church at Thessalonica, are not in darkness that they should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. I'm not going to have an invitation tonight. Most Sunday nights I don't. Before Almighty God, I implore you to start making something of your life while you still have time, and to start letting God work in you. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. This church needs to wake up. It needs to start being interested in the welfare of the younger generation. It's needed that for a long time. Well, better late than never. I hope you'll think about that this week. I hope you'll talk about it among yourselves. And I hope you'll decide inside where you live, between yourself and God, between yourself and Jesus. Am I going to work for the Lord? Or am I just going to continue along the same path that I'm on now and let other people do the work? God didn't call other people to do the work. He called all of us
to do the work.
Need to think about that this week. I hope you will. For your sake, I hope that you will. Brother.